Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
culture shocks and creativity shocks. These are things where you go from one culture into another, and then, well, for me it's always when you go from one culture into another, then back again, you then suddenly get this enormous disorienting culture shock. And for me, I'm going to talk about something called creativity shock, where you go from a very low creativity culture into a high creativity culture, and then step back again, then you get that shock feeling. Now, it's sort of a strange thing. So I haven't podcasted for a little while, and that's because I went with my family from Sydney to Canberra, Australia's capital, some 278 kilometres from the first signpost. It's probably closer to 300 kilometres door-to-door to Canberra, which I duly calculate that 400 kilometres is 1% of the Earth's surface radius over there. So it's less, a little under 1%, almost on top of each other as far as if you look from outer space where the two places are, Sydney and Canberra. And I went there, and happenstance was that I went to two exhibitions, and of that, and I'll describe what they are, and then you'll say, aha, I can see why there's creativity. Now, I'm just going to say that I'm back podcasting while driving, and hopefully all the time looking at the cognitive improvement, the improvement in speaking, interest, and various things like this. So these two, so we're going to have this, going to be something called a creativity shock, and then that's going to happen, and I'm going to describe these two things I went to. And the two places I went to, the first was a DreamWorks exhibition. So there's museums to burn in Australia, and or in the capital, and unlike the local towns. And so they exhibitions sort of sit there for a while to sort of dust themselves off and get going, and they sort of sit there. It's hard to say. There's a lot of them, and this is a DreamWorks. So there's Shrek, a horse one called something or other, Crook, the Trolls, sort of Wallace and Gromit, and Flushed Away. Various things are produced there. I just want to think. There's a very and obviously How to Save a Dragon. And going across it, it really didn't, for me, tell a deep, deep story. It was people sort of were involved in the story and they wanted to relive off the back of the films a bit. But they talked a bit about the people coming together, and the thing that struck me was that they had this fairly large creative process going on, that the people would get their basic story pictures together, on pieces of paper, and they'd have a whole heap of creative minds bouncing off each other, and they would try and stretch the boundaries, and everything was, it was a sort of, people go there for extremes of creativity, it's gag upon gag upon gag. And this is where I think creativity, entertainment comes together. They have a mechanism, and it's actually a competitive creative process. And you could see into there a bit, seeing the groups of artists work together, and various ideas come together, and the idea of your idea transforms into a picture, and it's a very quick creativity. And so that sort of left me in that they told a sort of a DreamWorks centric story. So DreamWorks is the only type of things they sort of mix the Pixar, the computer revolution, expectations, a whole series of ethical, cultural issues, sort of, the voice of other cultures. There's a whole difficult issues that I didn't feel they covered, but they did actually cover creativity. So that's one exhibition. I'm going to go on to the second exhibition, was at the National Film and Sound Archive. And this is in the old Anatomy Building, built in the 1930s, an Art Deco opulent style with a it's got things like a stained glass platypus in the roof, and it's got the busts of a dozen scientists' busts sticking out of the wall, sort of like some sort of macabre thing out of Star Wars. And you went in and they did various computer games, starting off with the 60s, the major computer games and rendering, and what they covered after that. And I'm just going to have to stop here really quickly, then I'll get back into the swing of things. So I'll be stopping here within a jiffy, and I'll be back to you in no time whatsoever. It's not looking too good for my master plan at the moment. I'm, of course, going off to the gym again. It's part of what you do with your brain training, podcasting, circuit building, brain training, back to the stuff, and I'll be back with you in a very short time on creativity. So podcasting again, we're in the game. Exhibition. These are basically computer games and arcade games, and not too many pinball games, but they've got all the various Wii's and various versions, Microsoft, Xbox, and the Kinetic, and various things like that. But the first sort of section was there were three sections. The first one was sort of classic games, and that caught me in on a few classic games and going across the classics that everyone recognised. Then the second section was about indies, and the creativity message came through to a little bit with creativity in the context of a big industry, and then creativity just by itself. And you could see here where DreamWorks was sort of pretty large scale creativity, and creativity was the product. Here creativity was the hook, the differentiator, and you had a whole lot of things going on, computers and people spending time and different interactions with it. And so you've got creativity, human interaction with it, it's sort of like the forced interaction and all this type of stuff going on. And so the independent games were pretty fantastic. It was an Australian game where the fruit falls down and you have to slice and cut the fruit. Whoops. Slice and cut the fruit. There's a kinetic, or whatever it is, program, which camera, which sees where you are, does it, and so you can actually puts your shadow on there and you actually cut it. It's actually quite a satisfying one. And they had all this independent thing where people had a creative idea, went through, and that just absolutely struck you. I'll tell you about I'll be back here in a second. I'll tell you about the third idea. I'm doing these little stops on the way to the gym. Now the third area was of SingStar and DanceStar, and they were great. My sort of family had great fun with it. Of course, for me, the big message was that after doing all this cognitive training, I said, this is cognitive training en masse. And of course, there's the feeling that the Chinese companies which now sell these will get all the cognitive ability of all people registered to it like this. And say for DanceStar, I thought there is absolutely no way that I can do this, but it was the exact thing that I should be doing. So really, the view is, although I think it's sort of a bit of a discovery doing the treadmill training, which is the cardio and stuff, the community training is fantastic cognitive stuff. But the message is that I was going, now, these people have nailed
creativity. Although creativity has been killed, where we have to credential. So you can, in terms of, in order to actually, basically, we've got education at an industrial scale, and we've almost got, it's almost farming. It's called domestication. It's a military scale, a large scale. It can't change year upon year and stuff like that. So the creativity in education is exceptionally low. That is, we give you so much syllabus, it has to be covered in a certain way, and no one can come up with fantastic ideas like this. So this is one of these things that the environment of education, the creativity is so low. And for me, just I wasn't expecting it. I thought the message I'm getting from here is high creativity. And I was trying to think about the term's creativity is not quite it. It's really, there has to be a term almost which fits exactly what people do when confronted with a problem. And if they're not creative, it's almost adaptor, innovator, that type of stuff going through. And the gym is Sunday night and it's thumping with people, and I'll be going there. So that's the culture shock that there are, that education should not be seen and criticised of itself inside itself. That's the way it looks at it. It only looks within its own boundaries. But if you look at education set amongst computer games, entertainment and stuff like that, you look at all these other things happening in the world, it's not a very fertile area, because it's got to do something. It's sort of like, gee, that meat works is not very creative. Gee, that person who's, well, even farming is creative, but the person who's running crops, they've got a process to do, a job to get done. There's no, no one's going to celebrate the unusual, the hook. There's no market competition for it there. And so, I think it's like there's a sequence of things. Like the core for me is why does education have so much difficulty, such a problem with creativity? I think it's got the problem with creativity, and part of not being creativity is part and parcel. It's a package deal. You're not creative, and you only think within a certain boundaries. Okay, I'm off to the gym, and God help me, I'll be training like all shit for the next hour or so. I'm going to just limit myself to an hour of brain training. Thanks a lot.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.